In the conversation earlier with the Wilsons, and I made the comment lots of times, and I do mean this, lots of times I think preachers say stuff that sound good, but aren't necessarily real, and that's not right. But I've heard preachers say a lot of times that, if Jesus moves inside your heart, something will change. And that's 100% factual. So hear this tonight, if you're in here, if you're saved, say amen. If you grew up, just by show of hands, if you grew up and if you was on the drug program as a kid where you were drugged to church 3 times a week, every time you want to go, not raise your hand. Okay, so there was some of y'all that got saved as young children that you would say on an outwards perspective, as far as the things you did throughout a week, didn't change a whole lot when you got saved. Because see, you were already going to church faithfully. You already had God inside your house and many things, and that's very, very true. But let me tell you what did change when you got saved. It stopped being an outward thing and started having an inward God. If you've ever been born again, you no longer were just doing outward things. A God of heaven moved inside of your heart. So if you're sitting here and you've never had a changing experience of that little fire moving inside of your heart, something's wrong. Okay? I'm not saying that not everyone's drug out of the muck and mire at 50 years old a drunk. That's not the testimony of everybody. And that's not the testimony I want my children to have. I want my children to have the testimony like Brother Zach Youngblood has, who is Philip Youngblood. Y'all know him, pastor, Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. His son, he says when he got saved, and I forget his exact age, but he may have been around 10 years old, and he said he heard his daddy in there reading his Bible and got convicted. He said, I'd prayed one time, but it was just a prayer. He said, God, let me know, you're not saved. And he said, well, I already knew what to do, so I did it, and God saved me. That's the testimony I want my children to have. There'll be a moment that God convicts their heart. Brother Sammy Allen would say, no conviction, no conversion. And if you've never been convicted in your life that you're a sinner and you've never been saved before. Because you need to realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And that Jesus Christ is your Savior. So maybe if you're sitting here, I hope this will give you some comfort, that you were saved as a young child. You're like, well, not a lot changed on your physical life. Your day-to-day actions, you were still faithful to church. You just kept going on. That's good and well, and that's wonderful. But I'm telling you right now, if Jesus Christ moves inside your heart, something's going to change. You're going to know it inside. There'll be a conscience that was not there before. There'll be something there that was not. There'll be somebody helping you read this Bible that wasn't there before. There'll be a comforter that gives you comfort in moments when you don't see it. You'll have a peace that passeth all understanding, meaning you'll have a peace about you that people don't quite understand that don't have God. That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching. Say amen right there. Romans chapter 12 tonight. I want to pick back up where we were leading off and finish up this chapter. I think we'll be maybe 2 more Sunday nights to finish this up, but there's four things I see going on in this chapter, and I want to recap what we've dealt with already reading that text. And we're going to deal with verse 13 tonight, but I want to read verses 1 through 13. But remember, there's four things. First, there's the mind of a Christian. We can see the Christian life all throughout this. In the first 3 verses, we see the mind of a Christian. Verses 4 through 8, we see the ministry of a Christian. And you understand, a ministry is not something you go and make on your own. A ministry is something that God puts you in. He gives you that. He brings you to... Now, and let me be clear, everyone in here, if you're breathing, everyone breathing? Everyone not breathing? Raise your hand real quick. We got people in here training CPR. Harrison said he'd give you mouth to mouth. I'm just saying, any takers? Nobody? Okay, Harrison, no takers. You're out, buddy. Yeah. If you have breath right now, you have a ministry that God wants you to be in. And then verses right after that, where it goes verses, I believe, I guess I would say verses 9 through 13, I see the mannerisms of a Christian, the things you should have within you. And we'll deal with those when we go back through them. And then last, at the end of this chapter, I see the motives of a Christian. There's motives in your life that drive you to do the things you want to do. One example would be the fact that, hey, there's some having compassion making a difference. Pulling them from the flames. If you've got lost family members, there's a motive for you to live a Christ-like life. If you have lost family members, there's a motive for you to be in the ministry that God would have you to be. I don't know about y'all, but I want all my family in heaven. And I've talked about that a whole lot lately because God's given me a whole lot of help with that. It's time we quit being nervous to witness to our family. Witnessing to your family is not easy, but if my family does not go to heaven and they go to hell, they're going to have to step over my body to get there. That's my desire. That's my goal. I don't want them to go comfortably and me do nothing about it. God has given me an opportunity to evangelize to my family. And I think as Christians, we should be doing the same. There's motives we deal with them. Again, we'll deal with those next Sunday night, Lord willing. But look with verse 1, if you would. I'm going to read the rest of this chapter. Remember, verses 1 through 3, this is the mind of a Christian. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I'm talking about a complete change. Transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Salvation is not an outward thing. It's an inward work that comes out. It's by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who in here would like to be in the perfect will of God? Well, you're going to need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For I say, through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. God said, don't you think you got this thing figured out? You need me. Lots of times we as Christians think that we need to look to the world like we got this whole thing figured out. But that's not true. We need to walk honestly. We need to walk soberly. And here's my testimony. I don't know what I'm doing, but I sure do know who's a-doing it. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man, man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He didn't give it to one and not to all. He gave it to all who will receive it. Verse 4, this begins the ministry. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, we talk about those gifts this morning that God's given us. Look what he says about them. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Those are all things that if you're a Christian, God has told you to do, and he told you how to do it. Then we see the mannerisms of a Christian. Let love be without dissimulation. There's a difference in loving on somebody and loving somebody. And what he says, don't have the outward appearance you love someone. Genuinely love them within your heart. Christ can put that inside of you. Remember that renewing of your mind? He'll put that love inside of you where you care about the well-being. I mentioned on our prayer night that we had those cards in here, and there were multiple cards with multiple prayer requests that you would have to be in an intimate, family-like relationship with someone to know was a burden on someone inside this church's heart. And multiple people thought enough of that person to not only put them on a prayer card, but put their burden on a prayer card. That's what a church is supposed to be like. That's what this love, it's not hypocritical love, that's real love. And thank you guys for doing that. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. When I preached this, I said there's some things we're going to have to leave. There's some things we're going to have to hate, to abhor, to not want anything to do with. But there's also some things we're going to have to cleave to and hang on as a Christian. The Bible says, therefore, if a man knows to do good and does it not to him, it is sin. And if you know that you, how many of us know that we are to be witnesses after last Sunday morning? If you don't witness, that's a sin. That's what the Bible says. We are to be witnesses of him. And the Bible says if you know it to do good and do it not to him, it is sin. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. This brotherly love, this is the love we're to have of each other and honoring one another, preferring one another. That means I care about your well-being as much or more than I do my own. He said, love them like you love yourself. I'm not trying to die today, and I don't want you to either. I'm not trying to starve today. I don't want you to either. I want to be well off, and I want you to be well off and taken care of. While I'm at that, I want to go to heaven, so I want you to go to heaven. You see what this is working in here? Verse 11, not slothful in business. Don't be lazy. Be doing something. Be working. Not slothful in business. fervent in spirit. It's a relationship. It's a continual thing. Serving the Lord. There's something in God's house for you to do. There's something in the body of Christ you're supposed to do. And if you're not doing it, the rest of the body is paying the price, picking up the slack. I've used the example many times. Anybody in here had a hurt knee before, a hurt leg, and you start compensating on the other one, and then the other one starts hurting? That happens in the body of Christ too often. People have to pick up for those who won't do not stop on business, firm in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. We have a hope. We have a lively hope. And we should rejoice in it. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen. Well, I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I got a faithful God. There's something worth rejoicing about. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Now that one's my favorite. Patient. Boy, that's tough sometimes. You're going through tribulation and wonder, Lord, why am I here? There's a reason. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go through that fire, but it burned what was binding them up before they came out. There's a reason for the tribulation you're facing. Hey, Christian, the tribulation you're facing right now, be patient in it. There's a reason you're going through it. God is faithful, and He's not going to leave you. Continuing instant in prayer. I hope that you have a prayer list, and I hope that you pray over it, and I hope that you update it often, and I hope also while you're doing that, I'm going to tell you another reason why you need to do that. You need to do that once and be organized. If it's not important enough to organize, it's not important enough to emphasize, okay? You need to organize it, but secondly, you need to do it so you can mark them bad boys off when God answers them. It'll do you real good to see all them things marked off you've been praying for that God answered for you. I've been praying, Miss Colleen, it's going to look real good to write down that God's helping you and making you feel better on mine. I've been praying, help Miss Colleen, that's going to look real good to me. I'll say, you answered that one. I texted them this morning, they let me know she wasn't going to bed a beer till 11 o'clock, and they come walking in at 10:15, and Brother Bill stuck his head in the door, and he said, prayer works. It's going to feel real good to write them off. You say, did you pray for something that would seem that small? Boy, God said, casting all your cares on Him. I like what, we should give God glory for answering the little things, because He can. So keep your prayer list. Continue instant in prayer. Be instant in prayer. But look at verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. I see two things going on here. And one, you're distributing the necessity of who? Saints. That's saved people. That's those who are born again by the grace of God. Saints and angels are not the same thing. There's many things that are talked about the world and pictures that are put. Y'all understand? Y'all ever study what the devil looks like? He's not red with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. He's beautiful. He has these different metals in his body, pipes coming out of his chest. His name means light reflector. He was made to reflect the glory of God. Yet the world pictures him as a certain way. There's different ways the world picture things, and they want to say that saints are angels, and they're not the same. If you're saved tonight, you're a saint. That's what the Bible says. And it says for us to be distributing to the necessity of saints, to distribute, give shares of something, deal out, to give what they need. Necessity, the fact of being required or indispensable. What this is saying is share with others what you have that they need. Now, there's really two ways of looking at this, and one is in a physical manner. So where's that? Go to James chapter 2 with me if you would. Keep your place because we will come back here. But James chapter 2. You know, James chapter 2 is a verse, lets us know at the beginning there not to be judgmental and have respect of persons. And it works on through and it deals with loving your neighbor. And then it comes down, and here's what it's dealing with in verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren? Who's he talking to? My brethren. That's saved people. He said, hey, Christians, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? You say, why is this talking about faith and works? What's this got to do with it? Who in here has faith in Jesus Christ? Who in here has faith that Jesus Christ is going to supply all your needs according to His riches and glory? Y'all understand that God lets us be a part of being a blessing to somebody else. Has He ever let you do that before? Let you be a part of being a blessing to somebody else. What's verse 15 say? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, it means they ain't got clothes. They ain't got food. They ain't got water. They ain't got the things that they need, that are required, that they have to have for survival. Here's what the Bible says in verse 16. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? This is what it's saying. If you look at them and say, be filled, be clothed, now go. Are they going to be full? See, Paul's dealing with the fact that as a Christian, there are people that will come to you and have needs. There are people in our country who are starving to death. That's a problem. That we have, there's a ministry here, and I believe all churches should do it. I know some, whatever, but I will speak on it. Mamaw, the church's Mamaw, you know, she's served at this church now for over 40 years. And Jimmy Justice, the pastor here, gets all the credit and all the name recognition. But I can tell you from my short experience here, as a preacher, as a pastor, if your wife doesn't support you in the ministry, you don't have a ministry. You can't do it. And she's faithfully served here. So as a church, when Papaw passed away, we should still help support her. She needs the help of the church. And that's something that's required. It tells us Christians, you should see the need of somebody else and have the desire to help them within their need. Just because I like the verse, look at verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. Look at verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You say, why are you reading this? Because if you're going to help people, sometimes it's going to have to be by faith. What do you mean? How do you know they're really telling you what they really need? Y'all ever had that before? People come up. I work in Asheville, so often I have people come to me asking me for money. Often. And y'all know that we think that thought of what are they going to spend that money on? What are they going to do it with? You know, there's people within our churches that need our help. Billy Mitchell's wife. I wonder how many churches dropped her support that she was living off of whenever he passed away. I wonder about Lee Davis's wife. How many people dropped her support? We're talking about people who faithfully have served in the ministry. They just weren't the face of the ministry. That doesn't make them any less part of the ministry. Remember, we read earlier about the ministry that we're all in one body and all have different things. And what this text is dealing with is it's saying that those people that have need, it's a responsibility. It should be a mannerism of a Christian to desire to help those needs. The Bible also tells us in 1 John, I'll make sure I say it right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's a question. It has a question mark. It says, if you see someone with need, and you don't have compassion on them to desire to help them, how can the love of God be in them? Jesus Christ was on the cross dying. And the seven sayings from Christ on the cross, I know at least the first three, I think it's actually the first four, we're talking about the needs of somebody else before he ever dealt with himself. It tells us in Philippians that the needs, that he made of himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant because he had a serving heart. Said, let this mind be in you, which Christ Jesus. And that mind is to help others before self. If you want to be a true Christian, you're going to have to put the needs of others before you. And when you have, God's given to you so you can be a blessing to somebody else. And so take what God's given you. So this is in a physical manner, and it is in a physical manner what it means. And I believe that it should be preached. That right there, that text in Romans chapter 13, where it says, distributing to the necessity of saints. It is indeed speaking right there of a physical need. But I also believe it's speaking of a spiritual need. You know, there's spiritual need that others have. Distributing the necessity of saints. Go to Philippians chapter 2. We've dealt with this before, but do you know, and I've heard, I think Dalton's one who said it, and I think the most selfish people on the planet are the ones that have Jesus Christ living inside their heart and don't tell somebody about it. The God of heaven saved me from a place called hell and has taken me to heaven. Shouldn't I tell somebody about that? If you're saved tonight, you have something to tell somebody that, hey, guess what? When you feel like you're alone, I know somebody who can be there with you. Hey, when you don't know what to do, I know somebody you can call upon and they will answer you. 100%. Whenever I start like work, at my own work, when someone comes to me and says, I have a new position open, do you know anybody to fill this position you can help with? I'm real careful about suggesting people for jobs because they can let you down. I'm never real careful about suggesting Jesus Christ. You should try. He'll work for you. And you distribute the necessity of saints. It's not just a lot, and I've heard this said again another time, we wonder why we're spiritually dead when we feed our physical being three times a day and give our spiritual ability one small snack a week. We're not being fed. We're not getting what we need. And these saints, you know, the moment you get saved, you become one. The Bible tells us in the full Great Commission that was given us in Matthew chapter 28 is to teach all nations. It tells us to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them all these things which I've committed unto you. It is our job to feed a new convert spiritually and help them grow for the glory of God. But spiritually, I see here in Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 10. Here's what's going to happen one day, according to the Word of God, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Before I read the next two verses, if you're saved tonight, say amen. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Here's what this says. God has worked something into you. We read this morning, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You cannot work to get your salvation. It's a gift that God has given you, and he's put it inside you. And here's what he's saying. Work out the gift that was put in you. We all have a responsibility to help and feed others with what? The bread of life. The word. The water of life. The well springing up into everlasting life in John 4 that he talks about. That woman at the well. He said, if you knew who it was who was asking you for a drink, you'd ask me for a drink. Because I can give you a drink, you'll never thirst again. There'll be a well of living water spring up into everlasting life out of you. Go to 2 Timothy, if you would, with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible tells us in John 6, 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We read this morning that Jesus is also known as the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. You know, Jesus is the Word. As Christians, we are to do what 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2 tells us. Look what it says. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We understand that grace was a gift that was given to us. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He says, you take what I have put inside you and what I have given you. You have the salvation of God living inside of your heart, the bread of life inside of your hands, and you're distributing the necessity of the saints whenever they have a need and they come to you and say, I just don't know how to handle the situation. You say, oh, well, the Word of God says this. I'm struggling, and I just can't get peace about this situation. Well, the Bible tells me that peace came to earth when Jesus Christ was born, and tells me if you let Him move inside your heart, you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. You can have the bread of life to give to the necessity of the saints. You know, the moment someone gets saved, they don't know all the Scriptures. If you know all the Scriptures this morning, you let me know. I'll sit down and you start preaching, because I don't. But these Scriptures, the help and growth of someone, all Christians are to take this Word and give it and distribute it to the necessity of saints. It's to bring to them what they need. As a preacher, I'm commanded to do this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick in the day of his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I am to take the Word and distribute it to the necessity of the saints. I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand. How many times, if you've ever walked into a church service with a need and God answered your need through the preaching of His Word, would you raise your hand? He gave you what you needed to hear at that moment. That preacher didn't know that you needed it, but the Word sure did. And He said, if you'll preach the Word, you'll distribute to the necessity, something you need at the time, distribute to the necessity of saints. Why do we do this? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, why I say this here, I heard this said by Brother Doug Raines today, and I'm going to say this in an appropriate manner. They pushed sodomy. Pushed it. And they convinced an entire generation it's mainstream and okay. My Bible says very differently. Very differently. And now that they've convinced an entire generation it's okay, you know what they're pushing now? And I'm telling you that I have proof for this. Pedophilia. Because evil men and seducers, what are they going to do? They're going to wax worse and worse. But it doesn't stop there. I got good news. Look what the Bible says. Verse 14. But continue. He said, this is going to happen. Okay? And evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, being deceived, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, continue in the Word of God. Why? Because you know where it came from. Continue in the Word of God because it is the, don't take it for a name, it is the true words of God. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, not most Scripture, not part of Scripture, not a few parts of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of who? God. Guess what? He's faithful. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He said, you know why you can preach the Word? Because it's going to work. Do you know why you can commit the things to those others that are in the faith and give, distribute to the necessity of the saints? Because everything that they need is in this Word, and anything they don't need is not going to be in there. He said you can give them in a spiritual time what they need in their heart, the desires of them. You can give it to them through the Word. I'm not sitting up here giving you a 10-step process to a better you that might work. I'm telling you the Word of God is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. All of it. And I know tonight's kind of more of a teaching on the Scriptures, and it really is preaching, I guess you would say, but I was talking about Josh again today. He's teaching Sunday school. And I said, it was a good day for me, and I want you to hear this because many of you in here will become teachers, whether you're one here now or not. Before it's over with, I promise you, my prayers are going to work, and you're going to become teachers of the Word of God. And the Bible, and here's something you can hold on to about what the Scripture tells. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You don't have to spend as much time worrying about what to preach or what to teach, but you can know good and well that wherever you open this thing up, it's all profitable. It's all good. God will give you direction of what to do it and how to do it, but God will give you direction and you say, oh, there's Scripture for that. There's a time for that. There's a goal for that. There's a purpose for that. There's a value to that because it's all profitable. You can take the Word of God and give it to somebody and understand that although they may not receive it right now, I've planted. Although they might receive it right now, I've watered. But you can rest assured that God, He's faithful, and He's going to give the increase. Understand that the necessity of the saints. Remember, I mentioned it this morning about Mary and Martha. He said Mary was doing the one thing that was needful. What was that? Hearing the words of God. And you can distribute the necessity of saints by giving them the Word. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We are to take opportunity to do good to all of them we can possibly do good to. The Bible tells us in Acts 20:35 that it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm going to tell you, if you want a blessing in life, help somebody in the Scriptures. You can ask anybody who's ever asked me a scriptural question before, don't ask me unless you got time. Some of y'all smiling because you know. I love it. I love it. Because when God puts something inside you, you just can't help but want to bring it out of you. And I can tell you, for those of you in here who are saved by the grace of God and you've never spent time distributing to the necessity of saints through the Word, the minute you do it, you're going to realize it's more blessed to give than it was to receive. God has given you a perfect word of God. And what do you need to do? You need to put it inside of you so that you might not sin against Him and so you can distribute to the necessity of saints. When the saints come to you and they have something, you look at them and say, rest assured, I got good news for you. The word of God has a solution for that one. Train up a child when he is young. When he's old, he will not, in the ways of the Lord, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's what the Bible promises me. Then lastly, the second part of this verse here in Romans chapter 13. So distributing to the necessity of saints. Then lastly, given to hospitality. Now, there's not a lot of need for me to deal with this if you were able to come to our revivals, because it was dealt with in a very, 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 very perfect and very good manner. Hospitality means the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. On Wednesday night of our revival, Dr. Joel Logan preached on how can you be a help to the guests, to the visitors. What can you do for them? Go to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm done. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, begins the verse. Let brotherly love continue. You guys keep noticing that word a lot through Scripture tonight? Continue. You want to know a mannerism of a Christian? Walk on. They continue. They keep going. Even when things don't look perfect, God's still perfect. When things don't seem in order, God's still got them in order. Just because you don't know the whole plan, that means you're walking by faith. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. The Bible says that when the strangers come in, you should entertain them. That entertainment is the same thing with that hospitality. It's not to like do something. It's to be a guest to them. It's to be receptive to them. It's to spend time with them. It's to love on them. It's not loving them for who they are. It's loving them for who He is. See, when a visitor walks inside, you don't know them. You don't know if they're a lovable person. You know nothing about them, but you sure do know something about your Savior. And he says, distribute the necessity of saints and be given to hospitality. That's the loving on of people that you do not know. And again, I'll say it. You don't love them because of who they are. You love them because of who your God is. And you know your God, He's faithful. And He's going to give you the words that you should utter, the knowledge that you would need to have. He is going to take care of you and give you what you need. He said, you just distribute to them and I'll give you some more. And I'm going to experience my life, and I hope that you'll hear me and believe this. I've heard people talk about some of the old timers, and again, I say that respectfully, those who have been in the faith for a long period of time, that they put in their Bible TP beside things. By the promises of God, and that means tried and proven. Here's something that I've tried and proven in my life. You can't outgive God. The love you'll put on somebody, if you'll pour Scripture into somebody else, God will give you more opportunities to pour Scripture in somebody. You know God's not going to send people through them back doors who need to be witnessed to and give them the gospel to be saved if we're not witnessing to them and giving them the gospel to be saved. If you witness to them, God will send them to you. And if you give to what God needs, I know when people talk about giving, and you know that verse, they're talking about money. And that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about whatever it is that God's given you. Whether it be your talents, whether it be your knowledge of Scripture, whether it be your time. Time, probably the most valuable thing on the planet. I've come to learn it. You don't have, there's always more money. There'll be more money when I'm dead and gone, but there won't be time when I'm dead and gone for me to spend with my boys and spend with you guys and to pour in God's Word. And God says, if you'll give me your time, boy, I'll fill up and I'll give you what it feels like more. I'll make your time worth more. I'll make it worth having more. And I can tell you from experience that I'm so much happier with Jesus Christ than I've ever been without Him. That my time I spent before Him, no matter how much time I had per se without Him, it wasn't near as enjoyable as a little bit of time I had left with Him. God said, distribute the necessity of saints and be given to hospitality. That's a desire to love on and take care of those that you do not need. Talk mannerism to a Christian. And I hope as we work through this, maybe you're like me and you're looking at him and you're saying, I don't actually fit all of these. Would you be honest and please don't answer me. Think inside your head, how many people inside here love talking to people they don't know? Not very many. God said for us to be given to hospitality. That means to give yourself to it. Pour it all in there. Be given. That's a mannerism of a Christian. All them people just kept, they were thronging themselves on Jesus. Remember, he said, how did virtue come out of me? And his disciples said, with all these people around you, that's what you have to say. I don't like being in big crowds, but I love Jesus. And he tells me to be given to hospitality. I know you may not fit these right now, but I hope it would be your desire not to look at the Bible and think it's wrong, but look at the Bible and know you're wrong and you need to change to fit it. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must start with the right mind. You must desire to be within the ministry, and then you must have the mannerisms that God has commanded us to have. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to dig into your word tonight. God, I pray you help us that we would look at this, hold to this, use this for your glory. I pray for every person in the building, God, that their hearts would be touched by you, and whatever their needs are, that they would have those needs supplied. God, I pray that you touch us this week as we go each and every single day, that we do it in your will and in your way. We seek your face and we pray to be filled with the Spirit daily, God, not just for a few moments while we're in the house of God, but daily. We love you, we thank you, and God, we want you to get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in your name we pray.